As I was coming up, asking the Lord what He'll have me say here, I think of desires. There are many desires we find. One thing, David said, I have desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold His beauty. Abraham desired a son, and he waited when it was impossible. And it says he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, knowing what God had promised. He was even Moses, when he spoke unadvisably with his lips, and he desired to go into the land, and God showed him the land and buried him on the other side. The Apostle Paul says, listen, I have a desire to depart and to be with the Lord. But he said, for your joy and your furtherance of faith, I'll abide here. And we can ask ourselves, what is your desire? What is your desire? And most of us will have various different things. But what struck me is, what is the Father's desire? What is the Father's desires? And when you look at the Father's desires, you know, most of the times, we look at things from our side. But what is the Father desires for each one of us? And I want to bring some scriptures. I want to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. And this is nothing new really for us. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. And reading verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I have found all my delight, in whom I am delight. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 29. Just reading verse 22 for connection. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. The Father's delight. The Father's delight is in the Son. This one who was with him throughout the countless ages of eternity, he enjoyed him. What a wonderful relationship he had or existed between the Father and the Son. We will never know the intimacy and the depth of that relationship. But somewhat of its joy and somewhat of its intimate relationship God wants us to know. And when the Apostle John, in the Epistle of John, spoke about handling him, hearing him, and handle him, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He says, for we have seen it, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And he says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. He said, these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. And God has called us unto the fellowship of his Son. This one who is daily his delight, this one who cheered and thrilled and filled his heart, Father says, I have found all my delight in him. That was in eternity past. But now in time, the Father has also spoken here in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Mark, in the book of Luke, on the banks of the Jordan, on the Mount of Transfiguration, addressing him, what a delight he was to the Father. But what I want to do in our few moments is looking at the Father's delight in the Son and how he wants to bring you and I into that delight to enjoy what he is enjoying. I tell you, you think God says, if I was hungry, he said to Israel, I wouldn't himself tell you, because we cannot feed God. But the fact is, he wants to share something, someone with us. So let me, in the book of Ephesians, and chapter 1 touch on the Father's delight. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. We know in verse 1 he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, blameless before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will," the delight of his will. I just want to, in our few moments, God's desire for us, God's delight is in his son. He's enjoying him. But now, here it is, God is saying, I enjoyed him so much. He's such a delight. He's such a pleasure to my heart. The Father wants sons like him, just like him, that we will also be a delight to his heart as the son is to his heart. He is daily my delight. It's not once a year. Sometimes it's once a week for us, or sometimes once a month. But every day, daily his delight. The Father, eyes rest upon him with complacency, because what a feast he was to the eye of the Father. But now the Father desires is that others should come into this joy. And he's saying, I am going to bring you into sonship. I'm going to make you just like my son. So now I ask myself, Brian, where can I turn to see the features of sonship? That I will be like the son who brought delight and joy to the Father's heart. Where can I turn? The only place we could turn is at looking at the son. Because God says, listen, everyone else is a failure. He said about Moses, he was the meekest man that ever lived. Said about Solomon, no man had more wisdom than Solomon. He said also about Abram, he's my friend. But when it comes to delight, it's reserved for the son. Daily my delight. God has marked us all for blessing. He has chosen us in Christ, predestinated us for sonship, to be sons, to be like him, to be like his son who brought all this delight to his heart. But let us trace the Spirit, or this one who brought delight to the Father's heart. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel. We'll run through them very quickly. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Here it is, he was among the doctors and lawyers. Listening to them, his parents thought he was in the company with those who went before. When they recognized and realized he wasn't there, they returned. And it tells us in verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that he sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? The age of 12. You could imagine, you have a son at the age of 12. And he is saying to you, listen, I am about my father's business. What do you do? That won't touch your heart. Boy, that will move my heart. Age of 12, I must be about my father's business. He's saying this to his mom and his stepdad, if we should say. I must be about my father's business. Who father is talking about? At the age of 12, seeing a son or a daughter picking up the word and reading it on their own, I tell you, it's a breath of fresh air. It's like a cup of cold water on a hot summer day. Here it is, at the age of 12. But then, it tells us in the book of John, chapter 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4. It says there, in verse 34, Jesus said unto them, they said it to him in verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. because he had nothing to eat. Therefore, said his disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Not only about the Father's business, but my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish the work. This is what he's saying. My desire is to delight the Father's heart. And the Father gets delight from that. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4 and verse 4. When he was tempted and brought into the wilderness. And the devil says, listen, I know you're hungry. I know you're hungry. Haven't eaten 40 days. Now command these stones to be made bread. You know what he said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. By that shall he live. This was him. This was the features of sonship. This is the son. When you turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 29. He says in verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. What a blessing. What a blessing. Oh, I tell you, I wasn't a son like this, I have to confess. But this son, here he is as a man, and these features are demonstrated in his life. Likewise, we look at chapter 14 and verse 31. Hear what it says. Verse 30 says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father given me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go. That the world may know that I love the Father. I tell you, when you see the Son, and the Son was so occupied with the Father's delight, but the Father's delight was such of that he couldn't contain himself, because he's looking at the person who is filling his heart, pleasing him on every step. And you know, in the book of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 35, it says, this same Son rise a great while before day and entered into a solitary place and there prayed. He was the one who got up morning after morning, indeed whom God had given the tongue of the learned. He would give instructions from God, waiting on the Father. He will do nothing without the Father giving him instructions. And he says, look at him. The Father, in other words, saying, look at him. Look at why I delight in him. You wouldn't delight in a son like that? Oh, I tell you. Your son get up and says, you don't worry. I'll wash the car, I'll put in gas. You just get up, Dad. Breakfast will be ready. You know the first thing you'll ask? What do you want? What do you want? What? Tell us what you want. Eh? All the son wants is to bring delight to the Father's heart. Wonderful communication. Abraham and Isaac, Father, here is the fire. Here is the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? My son, God will provide himself. And Isaac resigned to that. His father, that communication going up. My Father is always with me. He has never left me. Jesus said that. And when you get to Luke chapter 22, and verse 41. Verse 39. And he came out and went as he had worn to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that he enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast. And kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. What? The cross before him. His sweaters was at the great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Hebrews chapter 5 tells us he offered up strong crying and tears in that garden unto him that was able to deliver him. And he was heard because of his piety. Oh, the Lord Jesus wept. And he says, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me. But not what I want, what you want. You see, the golden text of the Bible is John 3:16. Yes, for the sinner. But the golden text of the Bible, of the New Testament, is, Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that you have given me to do. Now glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And the Father was so delighted. Here was one who glorified him indeed and brought delight and magnified the name of the Lord. That God, the Father, raised him from the dead, give him the highest place in heaven. But what God is saying, the Father desires, is he wants to reproduce these features in the sons. Those who are constituted or made sons, adopted sons. And now he says, as the Son has delighted my heart, I am going to do something. Now, let me say this before I continue. I have daughters. Okay, I have two of them. And some of us have daughters. Sonship is not male and female. Okay? Sonship is a position. Is a place of honor. Is a place of dignity into which God has brought us. So male and female have nothing to do with this. What God is saying, the character or the features of the Son will be reproduced in us. It's no effort on my side. It is what the Father have done for the delight of his own heart. He is so filled with Christ. He says, I'm going to fill the universe with people just like him. What he have done. So sisters, don't believe we are talking about men only. We are talking about you are a son because you have been brought into this place of sonship by the Father to be one who will reflect the features of the Son. So he said, you know what? I have chosen you, I have marked you off for blessing. I have predestinated you to be like my Son. And he says, you know what? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse. He says in verse 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Wonderful truth. He tells us in chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all children of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abram's seed and heir according to his promise. So now, the thing is this. God has given us the Spirit of his Son. The same Spirit that was in the Son is in us. It's no different. And the same Spirit that had him to cry, Abba Father, in Gethsemane's garden, is the same Spirit will have us to cry the same. No, here it is. If this Spirit is in me, this Spirit is in you as sons. The same features that was seen in Christ is now will be reproduced in us. That Spirit that will say, listen, I know all of us have interests, brethren. We have different hobbies. But to come to a point in my life says, what is most important? My will or the Father's will? What is most important? My business or his business? You know, when I was about 20, I read a book by Mr. H.A. Ironside. And he said, Sir Walter Raleigh said the queen, I believe was Queen Victoria. No, she said to him, if you take care of my business, I take care of yours. And you know, for years in the Caribbean, we had a book called The West Indian Raider. And Sir Walter Raleigh was all over it. She put him up high because he took care of the Queen's business. Mr. Ironside said, I came to the scene and I said, I am going to take care of his business. And he has been faithful. He has taken care of mine. You know, I made the same bargain with God. I said to him after reading that, I says, you know, Lord, I would like to take care of your business. And you take care of mine. I have to confess here, he has kept his end of the bargain. I have failed. Here it is, here. God is saying, I have placed you. Not only the ability, but I've given you the spirit of my son, that you may cry, you may have a wonderful relationship with me. Enter into that relationship like Abraham and Isaac, wonderful talking, communication going through. Oh, I tell you, very sad. You know, I appreciate being here tonight at this prayer meeting because we are talking to the Father. All of us. But what is so wonderful is that if I can talk to him by myself, I have a relationship with him and says, you know, I'm enjoying what you enjoy. I understand why you brought me into this. This is such. But when we turn to the book of Romans, hear what God said. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. No, it is God's desire, the Father's desire, that we should be conformed to him. But when it comes to sons, he is the firstborn amongst many brethren. There's three times this word firstborn is mentioned here and twice in the book of Colossians. Firstborn from amongst the dead, he takes the number one place. Firstborn of all creation. He takes the number one place when he came into his creation. And here, when it comes to son, number one. Number one. All of us are number twos, but he is number one. God says, none like him. He is special. And I want to conform you to him. How God is going to conform us to this one? Practically, we are sons. It's a fact. We are adopted. But I tell you, every son that God receives, he chastens. Hebrews chapter 12. If you don't get chastening or discipline, you're not a son. Hey, let me read it this for Hebrews chapter 12. And reading quickly verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. For ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whomsoever the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Every son whom he receiveth, if he endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if he be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's enough. Every son, no son is going to escape the chastening hand of the Father. But the chastening is to conform me to the Son. So there was a son, you know. There was a son. He was rebellious, really rebellious. And he decided, I'm going into the far country, I'll waste my substance with righteous living. And he departed, Luke chapter 15. He said, I'm going to enjoy myself. The father couldn't identify with that. But I tell you, divine persons work because it's their desire that we answer to the delight of the father's heart. And in the far country, he had a good lesson. What a lesson he had. He lost all his substance. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that far country. Then he went into the pig's pen. I tell you, that was a revelation. You see, you all, most of you here don't know nothing about pig pen, okay? You all just go down and buy the pork and bring it home and eat it, make a pork. But I tell you this, pigs have no manners, none at all. They don't share. You cannot put food out on a pig in a trough and say to, you ever hear a pig says, excuse me, you go first. First? All for himself. He saw that there. No sharing. You're just like the pig. And he came to himself. He said, what am I doing here? And my father bread enough to spare. I'll rise. I'll go home and tell him, let me be a servant. Yeah, that's an insult to the father. But while he was a great way off, the father ran, fell on his neck, covered him with kisses, and said, Father, I've sinned against heaven. No more worthy to be called thy son. Call, you are a son. Your place is to reflect, not the pig pen experience. Your place is to exhibit the features of my son. I have put my spirit, the spirit of my son in you. And he went home. Father brought him in. You know what it is? What it is? It's not a servant brought him in the house. It's the father wrap his hand around him and bringing him in. I tell you, and the servants probably say, wow, this is what the boy who ran away and give his father such a tongue lashing when he left. And the father is a place of acceptance, brethren. Acceptance. And he brought him in and said, best robe, shoe on his feet, ring on his finger. And he sat down at the father's table. The father said, bring forth. Kill the fatted calf. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. Saints, we know the fatted calf is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, the same thing. The father brought him right back. He says, brother, all that I have is yours. Like he went out and said to the elder son, you didn't even give me a kid with my friends. What is going on in there? And his servant came out and said, brother, your brother who was lost, who was dead, is alive again. And your father made a party for him. And they enjoying indeed the fellowship. Come on in. He wouldn't come. The father came out and to bring him in. And he's saying to his father, you didn't even give me a kid. Not even a little goat to enjoy with my friends. His father's interest and desire was far from him. But the son, as the father take off a piece of meat, start eating, the son also took off meat. Listen, God has made us sons. We are sons. Not we will be. We are sons. And the father wants to enjoy his son. So you have done that for us, that we may share in his delight. But do you know, it's the Father's delight to see us interested in what he is interested in. And what it is, the Son. May we, brethren, be conscious of this fact. It's wonderful, yes, we want to hold to the principles. We want to walk in obedience. Please, come. And see what I, and I'll close with this, when John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. Two of his disciples left him, John and Andrew, and following the Lord. And the Lord Jesus turned back and says, what do you want? What seekest thou? I tell you, the answer for me was wonderful. It's not, we don't want anything. We want to know where you dwell. Where dwellest thou? Come and see. Come and see where I dwell. Saints, the question I want to close with is this. If we come and dwell with the Son, You think that place have any lack of supply? You think there will be love that we have to kind of prime? You think there is something that will be lacking in that sphere? The Son dwells in the bosom of the Father. And I tell you, come and see. Let's go as sons and enjoy the Father's delight. Praise the name. Amen.